Georgia Congressman John Lewis wears many hats: civil rights leader, politician, and graphic novelist. His story and the story of the civil rights movement is told through a three-part graphic novel called March. The third and final installment of the series is out this week. And here with me now is Congressman Lewis himself. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. Delighted to be with you.
It's an honor to have you. Also with us is Andrew Iden. He co-authored the series and also serves as Congressman Lewis's digital director and policy advisor. Good morning, Andrew.
Thank you. Good morning.
And also with us is Nate Powell, who illustrated the series. Thanks for being here, Nate.
Hi there. Glad to be here.
So, gentlemen, this is the third book of the series. Therefore, this is the third and final press tour in which you're going to have to answer the question, why a graphic novel to tell the story of something like the civil rights movement and Congressman Lewis's part in it?
Well, that's my fault. It started in the summer of 2008. Serving as the congressman's press secretary on his reelection campaign, and it was coming down to the end of the campaign when folks were starting to talk about what they were going to do afterwards. Some folks said they were going to go to the beach. Some folks said they were going to go see their parents. I said I was going to a comic book convention. And as you can imagine, everyone in professional politics is not familiar with these comic cons. And so they laughed, except one person, and it was John Lewis, and I heard this deep voice that said, "Don't laugh. There was a comic book during the movement, and it was very influential." And that just absolutely blew my mind. I mean, here was a comic book playing a meaningful role in the civil rights movement, and someone as important as John Lewis remembers it and talks about it. So I went home, and I looked it up on the internet and read it, and it was amazing. So the next day, I came back, and I started asking the congressman, why don't you write a comic book? I mean, this is about the Montgomery bus boycott, but
yeah, well, let's back up and talk about that comic. It's from 1957, right? And it's called Martin Luther King and the Montgomery Story. Congressman Lewis, what do you remember about that comic?
Well, I remembered the book very, very well. I had gone off to school in Nashville, Tennessee, when I first heard of the book and got a copy of the book and started reading it. It was 14 pages, and it sold for 10 cents. As Andrew stated, Martin Luther King Jr., the Montgomery Story. And we read this book, a group of us, and we studied and learned so much about the Montgomery bus boycott, Martin Luther King Jr. and Rosa Parks. And we adopted this book almost like a roadmap as a guide to get involved in the sit-ins and later the Freedom Rides and the stand-in and the marches. And I met Dr. King in 1958. I had met Rosa Parks in 1957. Yeah. And that little book changed my life. It really did.
So now that you are three books into making your little book about your story, how do you feel about how it has represented your life?
Well, Andrew Iden and Nate Powell are really what I call a superb job. It tells the story of my growing up in book one on a farm. In rural Alabama, 50 miles from Montgomery, outside of a little place called Troy. And growing up there, I remember when I was 4 years old, my father had saved $300, and a man sold him 110 acres of land that my family is still on today. And if we would visit the little town of Troy, or visit Montgomery, or visit Tuskegee, I saw these signs that said white men, white women, colored women. And I've asked my mother, my father, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, why? They was, that's the way it is. Don't get in the way. Don't get in trouble. But the words and the teaching of Dr. King and the action of Rosa Parks inspired me to find a way to get in trouble. And I got in what I call good trouble, necessary trouble. And I think as young people and people not so young read March, especially book one, and later book two, and book three, they will understand that I, for one, and many others, grew up and becoming committed to the way of peace, the way of love, the way of nonviolence.
Nate, you're the illustrator of this series. I think that people who have not read serious graphic novels, who only know the form from, you know, just reading superhero comic books, they might think that the graphic novel form would cheapen or trivialize what is a very, very important story. How do you avoid that in how you illustrate a story like John Lewis's?
Well, first, I always want to point out that most comic creators of my generation and older still were weaned on superhero comics, and they retain a special place in our hearts. And in fact, Chris Claremont's run on the X-Men in the 70s and 80s is probably more responsible for my emerging social conscience than anything else as a young person. In terms of from a storytelling standpoint, it's largely a matter of intimacy with the people involved as characters. Particularly, you know, coming from a different place, a different context, a different time, entering March, I definitely had to deal with a certain level of anxiety with, you know, being asked to step into Congressman Lewis's shoes and to be asked to step into the shoes of so many people who struggled so hard and sacrificed so much. And really, it came down to a matter of getting as close as possible to people's subjective experiences, allowing yourself the freedom as a creator to look around in my mind's eye, to see, hear, touch, smell the things that they saw and experienced around them. And I'm from the South as well, and so whenever possible, I would lean in on my experiences growing up in Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, to fill in the gaps in terms of environment and context, just the cultural feel. And a lot of that anxiety and that baggage melted away and just sort of allowed me to get the job done and let the story be told in a plain and unconcealed way.
That's Nate Powell. He is the illustrator of the graphic novel series March, that tells the story of the civil rights movement through the prism of Congressman John Lewis's life. Congressman John Lewis is with us as well. Also with us is the congressman's co-author on this series of graphic novels, Andrew Iden, who's also an aide to the congressman. The third and final edition of this series is out this week. Congressman, let me ask you, as you have read these books as they've been published and you've looked at Nate's illustrations, Seeing it illustrated brought back memories for you about your own life that you hadn't experienced until you saw them on the page?
Well, I've said it to Nate and to Andrew that the three books are very, very powerful. I love the books. Book three is, they have so much drama. It is so powerful, the images that you look at it, you can feel it, you can almost taste what is going on, and you have to put it down. To witness some of the unbelievable action that took place during the 60s. It is one thing to look back when I was a child growing up on a farm and working in the field, taking care of the chickens that we were raising. But then you get involved in the sit-ins or the freedom rides, and you're beaten, and you're left bloody, banded at the Greyhound bus station in Montgomery, to witness the result of a bombing at the church in Birmingham, the beating on the bridge in Selma. It was almost too much.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wonder, in reading the books and looking at the images, how did we make it? How did we survive? And some people didn't survive. Some of it is very painful. I've tried to say, make it plain, make it simple. And I think both Andrew Iden and Nate Powell have done just that.
Andrew, is there a particular moment in book three that is really powerful to you that you could tell us about?
One of the things that I think makes March special is that we've been able to write it and create it using primary documents that have been digitized for the first time in the last 4 or 5 years. And so one of the things we did is we took what's called a Watts line report, which is essentially the 1-800 number that all the volunteers in Mississippi would call in their incidents to. So, for instance, a church bombing or a shooting, and each one of those reports would come in and they would collect it at the end of the day, they would give it to John Lewis's. And so we took one of those reports, and it's this scene of John Lewis in the depths of the Freedom Summer having already lost three of his volunteers. They don't know where they are. Their bodies are missing. Are they alive? And he gets the Watts Line report, and it's a church bombing, and it's a gentleman who was shot in the head and survived. But he was able to keep going. He kept his head in that moment as his friends were dying, his friends were being beaten, his friends were being shot. And it's just so powerful to me to think about how John Lewis can keep his optimism and his hope in the face of essentially terrorism being taken out on his people and his volunteers.
That's Andrew Iden. He's the co-author of the graphic novel series March, which tells the story of the civil rights movement through the eyes of Congressman John Lewis. He's in the studio with the congressman himself, also with Nate Powell, who illustrated the graphic novel. The third book in the series is out this week. Congressman, I think about you and the work that you did in Selma and elsewhere with Martin Luther King. I think about you often as I'm watching the Black Lives Matter movement play out. There was a moment when some Black Lives Matter protesters were blocking interstates in downtown Atlanta recently, and I was struck by how even people like Mayor Kasim Reed, who's very sympathetic to the movement, was saying, listen, guys, you know, I respect your right to protest. I hear where you're coming from. I share your anger about police brutality, particularly as it is directed disproportionately to African Americans. But please do not block public highways. I'm curious, Congressman Lewis, when you guys went over that bridge in Selma, did you have legal permission to block that road?
When we attempted to march, on March 7, 1965, from Selma to Montgomery. It was 600 of us. We were walking in twos. We never attempted to block the bridge or block the highway when we left the bridge. We were walking in orderly, peaceful, nonviolent fashion. It was like military discipline. We didn't try to disrupt or traffic. We were taught to act in an orderly, peaceful, nonviolent fashion. We studied, we prepared ourselves.
Yeah.
And we later got a court order from a federal judge after we were beaten and left bloody, and the judge granted us the permission to walk all the way from Selma to Montgomery. And because of the violence that happened in Selma on Bloody Sunday, President Lyndon Johnson ordered federal troops to protect us all the way from Selma to Montgomery.
Yeah.
People have a right to march in an orderly, peaceful, nonviolent fashion.
Well, when people criticize the Black Lives Matter movement, one of the things they say is that it's important to maintain law and order, rule of law in public spaces. Was that not the justification that was given for beating you and your friends on that bridge in Selma?
The governor of Alabama at the time, Governor George C. Wallace, the Alabama state troopers, and other law enforcement individuals said, in effect, that the march would not be allowed. They ordered us to disperse and return to our homes or to our church. But in America, as Dr. King was saying, you have a right to protest for what is right. You have a right to dissent. It's protected and guaranteed by the Constitution. Freedom of assembly. People all across America, and I believe the President of the United States and the federal courts, felt like our rights have been violated.
Congressman Lewis, I'm curious, when you look at Black Lives Matter today, what do you think about the movement from a strategic standpoint, from a tactical standpoint? How do you feel about the kinds of protests that the people who are protesting under this banner have mounted?
Well, I have met with some members of Black Lives Matter in Atlanta and other parts of America, and I said, whatever you do it in an orderly, peaceful, nonviolent fashion. And you try to appeal to the conscience of people. There's a lot of issues that they're confronting, but always respect the rights of others. when you see police officers, when I see police officers, and I tell Black Lives Matter people, respect officers, I said to them over and over again, I said, thank you for your service.
Yeah. We're speaking to Congressman John Lewis. He's also in the studio with his aide, Andrew Iden, who has co-authored with Congressman Lewis a series of graphic novels about the civil rights movement and the congressman's role in it. The third and final book of that series is out this week. Also with them in the studio is Nate Powell, who's the illustrator of that series. Andrew and Nate, I wonder, having worked on this project about the civil rights movement with the congressman, how might that affect artistic things that you guys do in the future? Do you now look at your present world and think, hey, maybe we should make a graphic novel about Black Lives Matter or the Tea Party or Occupy or something like that? Have those ideas flown through your head?
Well, I've been making comics for 27 years now, and I think since I've been publishing on a more above-the-ground level, there's definitely been a more concrete political lean to my own stories, and my work for hire also reflects that. But I think that the largest shift actually has to do with my becoming a dad at the same time I started work on March. So I have two daughters. Yeah. The oldest one's 4 and a half now. And so as we move through the second and third books of March, you know, not only has she grown up surrounded by my artwork through March, but also a lot of this visual reference, a lot of this film footage and everything. As she grows and her worldview expands, you know, as real questions begin to emerge, as she wants to return to reading March as her book one for her bedtime book, and as we move through it after a couple of nights, it's amazing to watch her consciousness kind of expand. But also, a lot of the work that I do, whether it is sociopolitical or whether it's fantastic, is sort of filtered through anticipating the world that my daughters and their generation will inherit and are quickly inheriting, and sort of equipping them with the tools, not just to, you know, to think critically and to act, but also to maintain rich tapestries of the mind.
That was Nate Powell, the illustrator of March, speaking. The co-author, Andrew Iden, in the studio, also an aide to Congressman Lewis. Andrew, where do you see your work and your career going now that March is over?
Well, I think I'm going to continue to serve in the congressman's congressional office. We need as many good public servants in Congress as we can get. But beyond that, you know, writing is something that I've come to enjoy on a deeply personal level. And I think pop culture and the creative arts is a way to spread a message, to talk to people about ideas. And I think that's something that I take very seriously. I mean, I just wrote a comic for The X-Files, which was something I used to watch as a kid with my mom. It was as much for her as anything. But what I wanted to do with that was put a social consciousness in that framework. And so we talked about the absurdity of immigration and the framework of aliens and how guns play into that. And it was hilarious because I kept getting emails and tweets back from folks saying, no, you need to read InfoWars, your conspiracy theories are all wrong. And you realize that the cultural playing field we're on has no boundaries, and you have to engage at that level.
Congressman Lewis, the world that we see in the graphic novels in the March series is one in which you are using these tactics that are now very familiar to us after having lived through the civil rights movement or seen it in the recent history, which is tactics like marches, tactics like sit-ins, civil disobedience. You brought one of those tactics back recently. You and your Democratic colleagues in the House staged a sit-in on the House floor demanding that the Republican leadership allow votes on gun control measures. Unfortunately, it looks as though that sit-in did not have quite the effect that you were hoping for. How do you look back on that experience?
I look back on it with a great deal of not just drama, but it's something that we had to do. We have been trying for many, many years since I've been in Congress to get the Congress to do something about the proliferation of guns in our society. We lost too many of our children, our brothers and sisters, our mothers and fathers, and seemed like no one has listened. I felt in talking and meeting with some of my colleagues that we had to do something that was out of regular order.
Yeah.
And we spoke on the floor, and then we just took seats. And every place that I've traveled since then, all over America, people walk up and say, I'm a conservative, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, but thank you for what you did. Airline pilots walk back when I'm riding the plane, the flight attendants say thank you on the streets, they say thank you. We have to do something, and I think we will. This is not the end of what we tried to do. We out of the Congress until sometime in September. We will continue to find a way to push the issue, to dramatize the issue, to make it real that we have to put an end to gun violence. We're losing too many of our citizens. You know, I met President Kennedy in 1963 when I was 23. I met Martin Luther King Jr. in 1958 at the age of 18. I got to know Robert Kennedy. These three young men, three young leaders, killed by guns. And people like Medgar Evers in Mississippi, and there have been many others of people in the movement that were shot and murdered. Every day in a city like Atlanta or Chicago, someone has been murdered. We have to stop it.
That's Congressman John Lewis of Georgia. With him in the studio has been Andrew Iden, his aide, and Nate Powell, who is a graphic novel illustrator. These are the three men behind the graphic novel series March, which is about the civil rights movement, and Congressman Lewis's part in it. The third and final installment of that series is out now. It just came out this week. Thank you all very much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.